performance.
So we talk about these intervals for elite athletes and for the layperson. Now, how about the layperson who's an aging layperson? Are there any sort of modifications you would make besides what you mentioned earlier as far as intensity? But is there anything that you should be more aware of if you decide to jump into interval training and you've kind of been either a couch potato or you're just getting back into fitness, or, you know, let's just say you're over the age of 50?
Yeah, a couple of points there. And obviously, I'm coming at this from the perspective of a PhD, not a medical doctor. And we're quite cognizant of the fact that, you know, before people start or change their exercise routine, they really should be checking with their physician, of course. That being said, I think people need to be smart. So if you're just, and use common sense. So if you're just getting into interval training, we'll commonly tell people, just get out of your comfort zone. And it goes to the analogy that you were talking about earlier with the walkers, you know, just picking up the pace a little bit. So you don't want to go from 0 to 60 overnight. And, you know, in our studies, while they've been relatively extreme, again, they're really proof of concept type studies. And so when you're starting out with intervals or returning to them, you want to be smart. I think in terms of older individuals, while we have done interval training studies on older individuals, including people in their mid to late 60s who have diabetes, you don't want to necessarily be doing these all-out sprint type protocols. So as you age, I think the maximal intensity that you use, you start to back off on. And when I've talked to some very prominent cardiologists in the field, that's generally consistent with their recommendation as well. They don't see any issue, generally speaking, with the high intensity stuff and even the sprint type stuff when you're younger and moving into middle age. But their suggestion would be to, you know, to back off from the very vigorous workouts or the sprint type workouts as you move into your 60s. And that being said, there's no one size fits all approach. And, you know, I think all of us see these individuals who are 70 years old, who have the all clear from their physicians to work out very vigorously. So it does come down to a very individualized approach, what your goals are, what your potential trainability is, what your suitability is for these various intervals. And I think your physician can help advise best on that.
Switching gears for a second, do you do much research around what you eat, diet, nutrition, and as it relates to interval training?
It's a great question. Certainly, we've done some studies where we try to manipulate nutrition. So, for example, we'll have people do interval training in the morning after an overnight fast, or whether they eat breakfast. We've had people do two interval training sessions in the same day and manipulate how much carbohydrate they consume in between. I think, by and large, we see small effects, subtle effects of the nutrition. And that might be because the interval training is such a powerful stimulus for adaptation. And so my broad takeaway is that, or in terms of translating into a recommendation, it's really do what feels best for you. You know, if you're someone, you know, it's fine for us to say, maybe if people do hard intervals after an overnight fast, they might burn a few more calories from fat. But if you're a person who just hates to exercise on an empty stomach, or you really want to have breakfast, that message is lost on you. So I think when it comes to the nutrition, generally there's no one size fits all approach, and do what's most comfortable for you. That being said, if you're an elite athlete or you're someone who's really looking to optimize adaptations, there's of course some subtle effects of nutrition, both before and in particular after the exercise, that can influence the overall responses.